Well, good morning. These fancy fangled devices, you know, I'm not used to them. So, I feel it one sense when I came up here that I'm not sure I really need to preach anything. I mean, we've sang such wonderful praises and thanked God already for all the things that He has already done. And I am joyful and excited, but also grateful for being in a church that really takes praising God seriously. So thank you for not only leading us, but for singing us together. So I have been thinking, which if you ask my wife, that's quite a monumental thing, that as I've gotten older, I'm in my 30s now. Yeah. We hate seeing lying from the pulpit, don't we? But as I've entered longer, I've realized that there are things that I can't do. There are things that I can no longer do. I won't bore you with that list. And even finally, I've realized that there are things that I was never able to do, even though I thought I could. You know, not everyone can actually write a world-class novel. Not everyone can climb Mount Everest or be a project manager. Not everyone can do everything. But this morning, we are going to talk about something that everybody can and should do. And that is to give thanks. Giving thanks is not age-dependent, gender-dependent, role-dependent, strength-dependent. It is something that we all can do, and the joy of doing that. So let's talk about thankfulness. So if you look in Scripture, thankfulness or the gratitude, there's a noun and there's a verb. Gratitude or thankfulness is the noun. I think John Piper's the one that said, it is this welling up within us of emotion and state of appreciation to both God and His people. And that is the noun, and we see that in Scripture. And then there's the verb. It's a response of action. It doesn't always have to be verbal, but a lot of times Scripture points us to that path. So if you know me, surprisingly, we're going to focus on the verb. Why did I do that? Well, two reasons. Number one, if we were to focus on both the noun and the verb simultaneously, we'd be here for quite some time. Number two, it just happened, Lord willing, as I was walking through Scripture that these things popped to me, as David actually said. I'm hoping in our time here that we're going to be reminded of what the Lord has done, that we are going to be motivated to be more expressive, specifically verbally, of gratitude to the Lord and to people. And then finally, I'm hoping that we can learn to combat the increasing negativity and contempt that exists in our world today. So, let's... I'll back that one up. So, the theme verse today is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I didn't plan on that verse, in a sense, that what other verse have you heard every Thanksgiving that you've come? Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica at this time. He just came out of a passage where he's talking about the day of the Lord and that it's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a fearful thing for some. And then he ends this letter with a whole bunch of admonitions. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the ESV says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. CSB says, give thanks in everything. So I thought we'd parse through that verse a little bit. Give thanks is a Greek single word. It means by giving out of myself, meaning it is not inward, it is outward. It is a response. It is something that I do. And then we go to in. So give thanks in. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I have no desire to be. But I have looked through commentaries, interlinearies, tried to get the sense of how the Greek would translate that very simple word. And I'm happy to tell you that it means in. Okay, so there's a little more. It says by, with, among, in the midst of, during. In this verse, no matter what commentary I looked at, no matter how Greek I parsed that out, what it did not say was for. Give thanks in is the context of this verb right here. And then it says all circumstances, that means everything, not very nebulous, just everything, all circumstances. I don't know about you, but when you wake up in the morning, that's a circumstance. For some of those that get up slower in the morning, that's a circumstance. So I'm going to try to turn this a little bit. Application right away. So really, church, how do we do this? I mean, seriously. This idea that I know in this church that there are some traumatic experiences for some people. David prayed for one. We know that most of us are in them. We could imagine one that we've been in. We know we're going to have more. So how do we really do this? I mean, we can throw some Christian platitudes and smile, and how do we really give thanks in every circumstance? Well, let me tell you how I've done it, or how I've been guilty of doing it. I can choose just to grin and bear. It is what it is. And I'm just not going to tell anybody about it. I'm going to smile. Or my favorite is to tell myself to stop whining. Somebody else is going through something far more difficult than I am. Then grandma comes along and says, you know, we can make lemonade from those lemons. Or if I was British, chin up, old boy, positive mental attitude and all that kind of thing. Or what I probably do most often is I pick apart the event. I am so glad and thankful that that happened on Tuesday and not Wednesday. I'm so thankful that my car crashed on the west side of 31 and not the east side of 31. More seriously, I'm glad it was that type of cancer rather than this type of cancer. Now, there's nothing wrong, really, with any of those responses. And we've probably all traveled those responses at one point in time. But what I saw as I studied this and what I want to highlight that if you have not embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not come to Him for the only means by which you are forgiven and stand before a holy and righteous God because of what Jesus Christ has done, if you have not done that, or for those who have not done it, this is all they got. This is all they got when it comes to giving thanks in the midst of a circumstance. It is what it is. Positive mental attitude, pick it up. But not so with the followers of Jesus Christ. So let's travel down a couple. There are many, many passages that we can spend time in. So let's just spend time in a couple. We can give thanks in every circumstance because we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Some translations say God works things for good. We can be grateful in all circumstances because we know and can trust that God works everything for good. And a little later in Romans 8, he says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? The creator of heaven and earth gave his one and only son. But more than that, how can there be more than giving Jesus Christ? But there is. And we can be grateful in every circumstance because there is more than just simply Jesus. There is more in Jesus. And then finally, for this momentary affliction, it's preparing for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. We as Christians have the right, have the joy to be grateful amongst all people. We alone should be grateful. Not alone, but in a sense, we have Jesus Christ and above more than that because of God our Father. Because he works all things for good. Because he's given our own Son. And as we've been studying in 1 Peter, that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a living hope now. And because of his mercy, we have an inheritance kept for us, guarded through us, that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The gospel is the reason, the foundation, and then the power that enables us to give thanks. In addition, we can look straight to our Savior as an example of what it means to give thanks in midst of circumstance. Once a month, we celebrate, participate in communion together. And it's often read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus was sitting around a table that he knew was going to be his last Passover meal. He was sitting around a table knowing that he was going to be betrayed, and he was sitting next to, potentially, the person who was going to betray him. He knew that the 12 who were sitting there, who were so devoted to him, were going to flee. He knew the cross that was coming. He knew the pain and separation that was going to be happening. But yet, in the ordinary meal that he'd celebrated many, many times, he gives thanks. He gives thanks in the midst of all those things. So, with that as our foundation, as believers in Jesus Christ, what we have, I thought we'd spend some very pragmatic, practical time together going through some of the scriptures that the Lord led me through. We're going to focus on the why, the when, the what, and the how of actually giving thanks. Why should we give thanks? When should we give thanks? What should we give thanks for? And how we should give thanks? So let's look at the why. Yeah, that's an eye chart, isn't it? Yeah. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I don't know about you, but I have this gift, so to speak, of only looking at the first part of a verse. Give thanks in everything. And then I stop there. And I'm quick to quote that to other people as well. But it says, "For this is the will of God for you," or "This is God's will for you," depending upon translation, "in Christ Jesus." Now, personality-wise or whatever, but I often take when I see scripture or I hear this idea of will, I generally think of command. This is the King's will for you. Do it. As I studied and I read and prayed, I don't believe that's what this is saying. I believe what this is saying is this is God's intent for you. This is his desire for you. It is his desire for us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks. It's what he wants for us. Now, he gives a command because he can't separate those two. It is for the glory of God and for our good. They go together. He doesn't want me to be a crotchety, grumpy 60-year-old man. It doesn't bring him glory. It doesn't bless me. It doesn't enhance anything. He desires us to give thanks. That's his heart. That's a little different message than say, buck up and say thank you. It's also our purpose. or why we've been saved. These verses were kind of interesting to me. In Psalm 106 and in 1 Chronicles 16, David says, "Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations so that we may give thanks to your holy name." 1 Chronicles 16 says the same thing, and he said, "His faithful love endures forever," and say, "Save us, God of our salvation. Gather us and rescue us from the nations so that we may give thanks." We have been saved, rescued, protected, physically, spiritually. Why? One of the reasons is that we might give thanks. That was kind of a new thought to me. Have you ever thought in through our series of being assembled together that we are here assembled together for all those reasons that we've talked about for the last 6 months? I can add one more. We are assembled together to give thanks to God and to one another. Finally, it honors and brings glory to God. So while we kind of know these things, sometimes it's helpful, I know for me, to put some feet to what's it mean to honor the Lord. One of the ways that we can honor the Lord is to give thanks. And he says, offer a thanksgiving sacrifice to God. And he goes on and says, whoever offers a thanksgiving sacrifice honors me. We as believers are not only saved, but we can have the creator of the universe is honored when we give thanks. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4:15, indeed, everything is for your benefit so that his grace extends through more and more people. It may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. We talked about this last year, actually, at this time. As grace extends, gratitude increases, God is glorified, and we are blessed. So when should we do this? Well, okay, so always, forever. Glad that's clear. That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent, O Lord God, I give thanks to you forever. Ephesians 5:20 goes a little further and says, always giving thanks to the Lord. In this case, it says for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this context, though, we come out of Ephesians where he's talking about singing psalms and spiritual songs to one another. So this idea of for everything is related into the relationships of one another. When we're doing anything, again, that narrows it down, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, but giving thanks is added onto the end of that. When we give, you will be enriched in every way, 2 Corinthians 9 says, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. When we give financially, specifically in this case, thanksgiving to God is overflowing. It's not only meeting the needs of people, but God is also being honored because people will eventually give thanks to the Lord. And finally, when we pray and commune, do not worry about anything and everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And we know the rest of that. Acknowledge the Lord God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When we come before the holy creator God in prayer and together into his presence, scripture tells us to come and not just with a thankful heart, but also speak it. Wow. Amy and I were talking about, I'm not going to say this as a regular pattern, unfortunately, but we'll pray for the bookstore that you know some of us own, right? And that it would be a profitable day, that people would come in. But yesterday I actually was thankful to the Lord, and I said that to him. And I'm like, my heart was actually blessed by doing that. It wasn't just a petition or a supplication. It came along with thanksgiving. So that is the why and the when. Now let's talk about the what. So before I go there, I mean, we've sang about the what. Blessed be the name. He gives, he takes away. He's given us his son. Mercy. So, I mean, it's just unending in one sense of what we could, should be grateful to the Lord for. But I want to point out a couple things that stuck out to me as I studied God's word on this. Number one, thankful for the church. You'll see this in Paul's writings, almost in all letters. Romans 1, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. He writes to the Thessalonians again, we always ought to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing. I give thanks to the God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy, all of you in every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel. We should be thankful for the church. Not just things. Are we grateful as a church for the church, the universal as well as the local? We should be thankful for the church. Secondly, for leading us in his redemptive plan. This is a great one. But thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession. That in itself would be enough. When you think of that procession that we're just following Christ and we're just in that procession. Thanks be to God that we are in that. But he goes on to say, and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So thanks be to God for the triumphal procession of Christ and that he's engaging and allowing us to participate in this grand redemptive plan that he's doing. Obviously, we should pray and thank God for who he is. I mean, that's almost obvious, but I mean, I don't know how we... Thanking somebody for who they are is kind of an interesting syntactical way of saying things. But we are to thank God. Hallelujah, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. His faithful love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to him with song. Psalm 7, I will thank the Lord for his righteousness. So just as a reminder of the things that we can and should be thankful for and have the blessing to do it. And then finally, we can thank him for a glorious future. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father, it was read earlier, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. And Hebrews, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful for a glorious future, for who he is, for what he has done. Wow. How should we do this? Well, again, we could spend hours talking about all the different ways that we can do it. But for some reason, I think I know, the Lord had brought me to some passages that talk specifically about using my voice, our voices. Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the people. Revelations 11, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you. Jonah in the belly of the whale, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. Isaiah, you will say in that day, you will say, use your mouth. I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, that you might comfort me. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Jeremiah 33 says pretty much the same thing. Give thanks. We say this in the house of the offering, give thanks. So why am I emphasizing this? Well, I will speak of me personally, that I realize that I may feel it. And I'm hoping that you can read my mind that I feel it. But I am not very quick to actually say thank you. Or as Paul says, I thank my God for you. He says that, but he's writing a letter, so it is to you. I thank my God for you. So you get to hear what I just said to the Lord, thanking for you. And I realize that I don't often do that. And I have to say, and I know that in this culture of one-way communication, I can blast anything on social media, just say it. There are certain cultures that are less apt to actually express feelings or to voice it. And so I felt like there was really a sense within my own heart, and I see it in our culture, in our church, in the world around us, that people are just, I don't know, hesitant, reticent, oblivious. We just could do so much better by saying thanks. We should do it with intentionality. This was interesting to me. In the same First Chronicles, it was on that day for the first time that David decreed that thanks were to be given to the Lord by Asaph and his relatives. The Levites were to stand at the front of the temple morning and in the evening, and they were to give thanks and proclaim the good news. I mean, David, through the Lord's Spirit, said, this is what you're going to do. It's intentional. It's not accidental. It's intentional. And then finally, with celebration and enthusiasm. The Lord is my strength and my shield. We read, he trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates. Okay, you parents, we've received this more than once, haven't we? When we open Christmas presents and we go to, thank you. Kind of a gritting of our teeth. Maybe I'm going to say, no, with enthusiasm. So why? It's just two words. Thank you. Why is that so difficult for us? I mean, now these answers may be obvious, but the first one is obvious. Our heart is not right with God. I don't want to avoid the fact that there is an inward welling that the Spirit works in us, and that's when we give thanks. But why is it so hard? Well, our heart is not right with God. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and the list goes on. But praise be to God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, he says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We have a Savior who knows when we have a propensity to be ungrateful. He loves us so. He is kind to us despite that. The second thing is the gift is more important than the giver. Oh, Christmas morning. Tearing of paper, kids running around, and off they go. And the parents are just like, just even a nod. Just even a slight thank you. So most of us know this story in Scripture in Luke chapter 17 where Jesus heals the 10 lepers. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? The other 9 were rightfully so very, very excited about being healed from leprosy. And they were on their way to the priest, just like Jesus had said. But I submit to you that sometimes we can get so overly excited about the gift and not the giver. Do we worship the Lord because of what he can do for us? And we've already talked about the huge things that he can do for us. And then finally, other things can crowd out our speech. I thought this was very interesting. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. There's a total contrast here. Foolish talk, coarse joking, or giving thanks. You can't do both. Praise be to God, his spirit can work in us, but I found that very interesting that he didn't say things like, no, don't do foolish things, you know, but say good things. I mean, that's true too, but he said, give thanks is the opposite of foolish talk and crude joking. We see this in the book of James as well. He says, you know, our mouth praise God at one, and yet we curse those who are created in his image. Brothers, it cannot be. So as we think about the things, we should be aware of these. I don't say these things. I hope that you hear my heart, and I hope I hear my own. This is not self-deprecating talk. This is just to make us aware of things that can hinder us from not just giving thanks, but from enjoying the blessing of being people who are grateful to our God. So as I look back, kind of wrapping this up, I was trying to think of, you know, what are some of the requirements? Meaning, what do we need to give thanks? Well, we have everything we need for life and godliness in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are not in want. We need that Spirit of God. So we haven't talked a lot about it, but the very Spirit of God that dwells within us, the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, gives mortal life to our bodies also and can give us this ability to give thanks. We are not without help in this. We are not without the opportunity. We are not without the joy of giving thanks. Humility. Thanks drives humility. You can't be thankful and be pride at the same time. This idea of giving thanks is I'm offering of myself to you and saying thank you to you. There is a humility in here. And then finally, I think that a real key point, there is an observation component. So women, you can close your ears. Men, we need to think and observe. It's one thing just to say thank you to your wife. If you did that for just 35 years and just said thank you, as my wife has and sometimes, for what? So men, we need to think. We need to observe in order to be grateful for things. So what is the benefit or the fruit of giving thanks? Well, I mean, there's many that we've kind of talked about throughout this time. But one, I think it protects us. Protects us from ungodliness. We kind of talked about that in the course, joking. But have you ever noticed that when we're thankful, we cannot be bitter? The two don't mix. Bitterness repels people. People who give thanks are engaging, welcoming, involved in community, building people up. Bitterness is self-centered. Giving thanks is other-centered. We can become arrogant and self-centered when we begin to believe that what we have achieved is dependent upon us. The practice of giving thanks can protect us from some of that behavior. It recalibrates or recenters us. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can just kind of, like, life just comes and I just kind of drift. When I give thanks, it kind of recenters me. It helps me see that what is really valuable in life. What has God really done? What is he doing? What does he want to do? What's he given me the opportunity to do? He recalibrates me. He recenters me. Very tangible result. And I believe that thanksgiving drives contentment. Or actually in reverse. If you are truly, if I am truly content with all that God has done, all that he's doing, all that he's given to me, all that he's preparing, he will finish what he's started, right? If I am content, then I'm going to be expressing thanks. It's just going to, And by second nature, if I am just spouting out thanks to you, to God, it's tough to be discontent when you're like that. When we realize that all we have comes from God, that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, that he has made a way for forgiveness, for freedom, for a restored relationship with the God of heaven above, there's no place for arrogance, self-promotion, but rather giving thanks to the Lord for his glory and for our good. So I'd like to take just a few moments of a responsive reading. So this comes from Psalm 107. So I'll read a paragraph, and then we will all say it together. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices, thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on great waters, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Let them thank the Lord. Well, I will read it then. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, it is the least we can do, God. You are glorious. Father, we cannot give you thanks that is ample for all that you've done. You sent your Son. You've loved us. You've changed us. You've healed us. You've redeemed us, and you've given us a future. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you're doing. May we be faithful stewards of all that you've given. Oh, Lord, what a joy it is to be able to give thanks to you. Pray that you would be blessed and honored in all things. Amen.
Take a few moments to reflect in personal confession, and then we'll recite a corporate confession together. If you would, let's pray this together. Giver of all good gifts, thank you for giving us such a glorious inheritance. Forgive us where our hearts are discontent. May your Spirit satisfy our souls in you so that we would be a grateful people who have open hearts towards you and open hands towards others. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we have glorious promises from God. Those who confess, God receives. The verses Mark read towards the end were verses of talking about, then people cried out and God delivered them. Praise the Lord, he hears our prayers of confession. And so hear these words. If you have trusted in Christ and you believe and look to him, it's for freedom Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery.
And receive this blessing from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be blessed.